You may open your Bibles again to the book of Ephesians, for we're using really the whole book. Take time to read all these six chapters of Ephesians. We're not taking that time just here, just particular to read the prayers of Paul in the first chapter and the third chapter. But there are two key phrases in scriptures that we looked at this morning that I want us to notice. Notice the expression, first of all, in Ephesians 1:20, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenlies. And then in Ephesians 2:6, and has raised us up together. Let's read those two verses together. And has set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, and hath raised us up together. Now in the mind of Christ, the mind of God, we might say, we were raised when Christ was raised. When Christ sat down, we sat down too. That's where we are now. The act of sitting indicates that for the time being, at least certain aspects of his work is in abeyance. But now we are sitting with him with all of the authority given unto him. And that authority belongs to us. We exercise the authority that was given to him because it belongs to us through him. We help him by carrying out his work upon the earth. Not only have we been made to sit, but also notice where we are sitting. Notice that. The 21st verse says, we are sitting far above all principalities and power and might and dominion. Now remember the text that we noticed a time or two this morning? Ephesians 6:12, where it said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickednesses, our wicked spirits in high places. Not only is Christ seated at the right hand of the Father, far above all these powers, but we are there too. For he said, he hath made us sit together. Hallelujah. That's where we are right now. Glory. The word of God tells us that we are to overcome the devil in our daily combat because, you see, that Jesus has already overcome him for us and we have his authority. But now if you don't exercise that authority, even though Jesus overcame the devil for you, if you don't exercise that authority, the enemy in everyday combat will overcome you because you don't take advantage of what belongs to you. You see, it doesn't just work automatically. I don't know why some people seem to think that spiritual things just work automatically. If Jesus did anything, it'll just sort of automatically fall on you. But did you ever stop to think about it that when it comes to salvation, in other words, the new birth, the remission of sin, did you ever stop to think about it that Jesus didn't just die for you? That he died for the worst wretch that's walking the streets in this city today? And that salvation belongs to them just as much as does you? You can think of the worst person in this city, the meanest, the low down, mean person, vile. And yet, Jesus died for them, and salvation belongs to them just as much as it does you. Now, it won't do them any good unless they accept it, but it belongs to them. He doesn't have to die again if they come to be saved. Jesus doesn't have to die again. He doesn't have to shed his blood again. He's already done that, hasn't he? It belongs to them. Well, if it belongs to them, why don't it just automatically fall on them? Well, God has a way. That's the reason he said, go ye into all the world and preach to God. Go tell them the good news. It belongs to them. Now, by the same token, after you are born again, become a child of God, what God has provided for you, what God has purchased for you, won't just automatically fall on you. You'll have to find out from the Word. That's one reason you put teachers in the church to teach. So we can find out what belongs to us and take advantage of what belongs to us. And if we never know it, even though it's ours, it won't do us any good. And if we do know it and we don't act upon it, it still will not become real to us and it still won't do us any good. So I'll tell you what let's do. Let's just simply rise up, praise God, and act on God's word for ourselves. Take advantage of what belongs to us. Our trouble, and I don't mean this disrespectful, but it's absolutely the truth. Our trouble is that we haven't found out our position in Christ. Our trouble is we've heard too much cross religion instead of resurrection religion preached. Sure, Jesus went to the cross, but he's not still there. Thank God he arose, and the Bible said we were raised up together with him. Are you listening to me? Amen. Now, I remember way back in 1952, here's something that if you'll listen carefully now, you'll find the answer to a lot of your problems. And it's amazing to me how many people with questions, if they'd just listen, they already had the answer, but then they'll come to you with a question. If they just listen, they'd already have it. So listen carefully, because you'll not only find the answer to a lot of things, but you'll find the answer to things that may show up in the future, and you'll know then. I remember way back in 1952, I was holding a meeting. I didn't live in Oklahoma then. I do now. But I was holding a meeting there in the state of Oklahoma. December 1952, just a couple of weeks of Bible teaching. Teaching in the morning time, teaching at the night time. And one night after the meeting was over, I was visiting with the pastor in his home. We were sitting at the table in the kitchen just having a sandwich. And as the pastor and I prayed together about 11 o'clock before we retired, suddenly the Lord appeared to me in a vision. Now, I was kneeling here on the floor in the kitchen, and it looked like he was standing about where the ceiling was. And I'll not go into the detail about all the vision because it lasted about an hour and a half, but right on the end of that, right on the tail end of that, there was something happened that is enlightening, and I want you to get this. As Jesus was talking to me, because he began his conversation by saying, I'm going to teach you concerning the devil, demons, and demon possession. Because, he said, from this night forward, what is known in my word as discerning of spirits will operate in your life when you're in the spirit. A lot of people get in trouble all the time. They try to operate things when they're not in the spirit, and it won't work. Now, right on the end of that, Jesus was talking to me about the operation of demons and evil spirits and how to deal with them and so on, when suddenly there was a demon or an evil spirit that ran up between me and Jesus. Now, actually, it looked like a little elf or a little monkey-like. And when he ran up there between Jesus and me, if you could imagine, I'm kneeling here on the floor and it looked like Jesus standing about where the ceiling is, and I couldn't see the ceiling. The ceiling disappeared. But about that high above me, Jesus was standing. And this little demon ran up there between the two of us. You see, up seemed to be right up here in the air between the two of us, and just put out something like a dark cloud or a smoke screen. And I couldn't see Jesus anymore. And then he began to jump up and down, throw his hands out that way and kick his legs out like that, and holler in a real shrill voice that just pierced your ears. Yakety yak yak yak. Yakety yak yak. Yakety yak. Just shrill like a whistle almost. Well, I couldn't see Jesus anymore. I couldn't hear what he's saying. I heard the sound of his voice. Now listen carefully. Don't get your mind on the vision. That's where a lot of people miss it. Get your mind on what was said. Get the meaning of it. They get carried away with some of the technicalities of it that don't amount to anything, instead of getting what God's trying to get over to you. Are you listening to me now? Sometimes, a lot of times, people have said to me, because a number of times I would refer to Jesus, like this time appeared to me, well, what did he look like? I could care less what he looked like. I didn't take that much time. I was listening to what he had to say to me. I'm concerned what he's got to say to me. Amen. I didn't have time. I'm not going to take the time just to scrutinize, just to see just how he's crowed and what he's got on his feet and how long his hair is, and whether he's got a beard, if he needed a shave or not. I didn't pay attention to that. I mean, that's not my... I mean, I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested in the physical aspects of Jesus, not the least bit in the world. I'm interested in what he had to say to me. I wanted to be sure I listened intently, that I got his message. Are you listening to me? But see, if we can get so taken up with the natural that we miss the spiritual. Amen. Now then, I thought, as I was there in prayer, you see, now I can't see Jesus. The dark cloud has come and obscured him. The demon is yakety-yakking. I can hear the sound of his voice. He just went right on talking, But I can't distinguish one word he's saying. Well, I just almost panicked. I thought, you know, I need to hear that. Because he's saying something very important. I need to get that, and I'm not getting it. Then I thought, don't Jesus know I'm not hearing him? Don't he know that I'm not getting that? Why don't Jesus do something about that? Now, see, a lot of things happen in life. I want you to get the spiritual point. Don't just get your mind on the vision there and all of that, what actually literally happened, but just get, you see, we ask questions. Well, why did God permit this? Why did Jesus permit this? Why don't he do something? If you listen carefully, you'll find out. You'll have all your answers. If you'll just listen. Why? I'm thinking that. Why did he permit that devil to do that? Don't he know I'm not getting what he's trying to say to me? Don't he know I'm not getting it? Why did he allow that? Why did he permit that to come to pass? Why don't he do something about it? Why don't he stop that demon? Well, he didn't do anything. The dark cloud's still there. I can't see Jesus. It's like a big smoke screen, you see. I can't see Jesus. The demon's still jumping up and down the hall, and I can't hear him. I hear the sound of his voice, but I don't distinguish one word. I don't know one word that he said. A few seconds at a time like that can seem like 10 minutes. I know it must have been just a few seconds, but it seemed to me like it must have been 10 minutes, you know. And finally, in desperation, I just cried out, "You foul spirit, in the name of Jesus, I command you to shut up." And when I said that, just kerflop, he hit the floor. I mean, he shut up. I didn't hardly get the words out of my mouth until he shut up immediately. It just hit the floor. The dark cloud disappeared. I could see Jesus. And that little old demon lay there on the floor in front of me, just like a little old dog. Did you ever take a little old dog, you know, and whip him, you know, and little old pup, you know, and he just lay there and whine and shake all over, just tremble all over. And he said to me, "I sure don't want to, but if you tell me to, I know I have to." Well, I said, "Not only shut up, but get out of here." And he got up and ran off. And then Jesus said something that absolutely upended my theology. Now, you know, sometimes our theology needs upending. If it does, it's just upended. Praise God. What do you say? Get it lined up right. You see, he knew what I was thinking. See, he knew my thoughts. I had thought, why doesn't he do something about that demon? Why doesn't he? Why did he permit that? Why did he let that happen? Don't he know I'm not getting the message? Never will forget the longest day I live. To me, it's just as new as though it happened last week. See, spiritual things never grow old. Hallelujah. So he knew what I was thinking, and he said, "If you hadn't done something about that, I couldn't." Well, now, you know, that came as a, you know, I said with great surprise, "Lord, I know I misunderstood you. You didn't say if I hadn't done something about that demon, you couldn't. You said you wouldn't, didn't you?" No, he said, "I said if you hadn't done something about that, I couldn't." I said, "There's something wrong with me." I said, "Lord, you see, the second time now, you didn't say if I hadn't done something about that demon, you couldn't. You said you wouldn't, didn't you?" "No." He said, "I said if you hadn't done something about that, I couldn't." Well, I sort of shook my ears that way, you know, both of them, you know. And I said, "There's something happened to me. I'm not hearing right. Lord," I said, "I know I misunderstood you, or I didn't hear it right. you didn't say that if I hadn't done something about that demon that you couldn't. You said you wouldn't, didn't you? And then he answered just pretty bold, just almost out, and said, no, I didn't say I couldn't. I said I wouldn't. I couldn't, not a wouldn't. I'll get it right. I couldn't, not wouldn't. Could not, could not. Well, now, one fella said to me, well, now, don't tell me there's not anything Jesus can't do, because he can do just anything he wants to do. I said, well, if he can, why don't he make you pay your tithes? You know, that ended the conversation right there. Amen, that ended it right there. That's closed it down, closed it down. That closed it down right there. And you know what was so strange about it was that I didn't know the man didn't know he didn't pay tithes. Spirit of God told me. I heard those words coming out of the mouth and almost turned to look, see who was saying it, and realized it's coming out of my mouth. But God just had a way of taking care of that fellow. Amen. Now, I said, Lord, I never heard anything like that in my life. Did you? I never heard anything like that. I said, that's different than anything I ever preached. That's different than anything I ever heard preached. And Jesus got me in deeper before he got me out. He said to me then, he said, there's not anything in the New Testament anywhere that tells the church if they'll pray to me or pray to God the Father that we'll do anything about the devil. In fact, he said, the church or the Christian or the believer to pray that I will rebuke the devil or that God will rebuke the devil is wasting their time. When he said that to me, I said to the Lord, Lord, I've sure wasted a lot of time. Because I picked up the bad habits other Christians have. You know what I mean? I don't know that he ever did rebuke them, but I sure prayed that he would anyhow. It's a whole lot easier just to turn the responsibility over him, not to assume any on your own. Or think you turned it over to him. Don't shout me down. That's because I'm preaching real good. And so I said, I've sure wasted a lot of time then. Then I said to him, Lord, I can't accept that. I don't care if I am seeing you. I don't care if I am hearing you. And you talk to him just as real and as plain as any person ever spoke to me in my lifetime. I still cannot accept that unless you can prove that to me by the Word of God. I won't accept any vision, any kind of supernatural experience if it can't be proven by the Holy Scriptures. Now listen, particularly the New Testament, I'm not so concerned about the old. I'm not living under the old covenant. It was for spiritually dead people. I'm not spiritually dead. I'm living under the new covenant. Are you listening to me? And that's where the Christian ought to live. Get in the epistles and live there. And then you'll really flourish as a Christian. Praise God. Well, I said, your Bible said, in the Word of God, it said, in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. So I want at least three witnesses, and all of them in the New Testament that proves what you've said, or I won't accept it. Now, you think he became angry with me because I said that? No, he didn't. Jesus just smiled so sweetly, and he said, I'll go you one better. See, I said three. He said, I'll give you four witnesses. In the New Testament, you see. And I said, well, I've read the New Testament through 150 times and portions of it more than that. And if there's anything like that in there, I don't know it. And he said, why, Sunday's a lot in there you don't know yet. I'm glad there is. I said, I'm glad there is. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now then, Jesus said to me, first of all, nowhere, there's no place in the New Testament, let me say it again, no place in the New Testament where any writer, Paul, that is writing letters to the church, you see, Paul, Peter, James, John, Jude, any of them that wrote letters to believers or Christians, not one single place where they told the church to pray to God the Father, about the devil or against the devil. Not one single place. Not one single place. That's the reason he said to me, people who pray that God would rebuke the devil are wasting their time. You see, the least member of the body of Christ has just as much power over the devil as anyone has. And unless believers do something about the devil, nothing will be done. You can see that in that case. Nothing was done till I did it. Now, Matthew records, and this is the first scripture that Jesus gave to me. First of all, Matthew is the first witness. Matthew, the 28th chapter, when Jesus arose from the dead there, you know, Matthew 28:18, Jesus said, all power or authority is given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. Now, the Greek word, I knew this, translated power means authority. What Jesus actually said is, all authority is given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. Now, he said, if you stop reading there, Jesus said to me in this vision, then you would say, well, now, dear Lord Jesus, you do have authority on earth. You could have done something, because it said right here that all authority in heaven and in earth was given unto you. But he said, you see, I immediately delegated my authority on the earth to the church. I immediately turned that over to them. You see, I immediately said to them, go ye into all the world. Hallelujah. Matthew said, teach all nations. Mark said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. One of the very first signs was that they'd exercise authority over the devil. My name, they'll cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. And right on down the line, they'll lay hands on the sick and shall recover. Well, the very first sign that would follow any believer, not just some preacher or somebody, but any believer is, in my name, they'll cast out devils. Now, he is simply saying that believers will have authority over the devil. That's what he's saying. They'll break the power of the devil over their lives and over the lives of their loved ones. You see, you've got power and authority in your own household. You can't just go out promiscuously breaking the power of the devil over any and everybody's life, because you don't have that authority. But you do have authority in your own life. You do have authority in your own household. Can you understand that? Now, they were to be free from the enemy because they will exercise authority over him. Now, who is it that's going to cast out devils? Who is it that's going to exercise authority over the devil? Believers are. They're going to pray God and God will do it? No, they are. They're going to pray that Jesus do it? No, they'll do it. Now, notice it concluded by saying they'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Well, we don't pray, God, lay your hands on the sick. No, he said, you lay hands on them and they'll recover. We don't pray, Jesus, lay hands on the sick. No, you lay hands on them. Well, if you're going to do the laying on of hands, then you're going to do the exercise and authority over the devil, because it said they shall cast out devils. They shall lay hands on the sick. We don't say, God, now you speak with other tongues. No, you do the talking with other tongues. God doesn't. We don't say, now, I'm going to pray that Jesus will speak with other tongues. Well, no, we don't pray that Jesus speak with other tongues. It said believers would speak with other tongues, doesn't it? You do the talking. Isn't that right? Well, then why would you pray that God would cast out devils then? When he said, you do the talking with tongues, you do the laying on of hands, and you do the speaking with tongues, and you do the casting out devils. See what I mean? Not God, you do it. Not Jesus, you do it. Are you still out there? You're going home. Amen. Can't you see that? Can't you see that? Amen. Now, you don't pray, as I said, that Jesus will lay hands on the sick. Because he said, they, believers, will lay hands on the sick and shall recover. Amen. You do it. You lay hands on the sick. Because, you see, you're exercising the authority that God gave you. He authorized you to lay hands on the sick. Hallelujah. Same way with dealing with demons and evil spirits. Now, so you see, first of all, Jesus said himself, as Matthew and Mark records, Jesus said after his resurrection, after his death, burial, and resurrection, just before that he ascended on high to sit down at the right hand of the Father, where he ever liveth to make intercession for us, that all authority is given unto me, both in heaven and earth, but he delegated that authority on the earth to the church. Oh, if we ever wake up and realize our authority and take advantage of it, great things will happen. Now, the next reference he gave me was James 4:7. James chapter 4, verse 7. We're talking about the authority that the believer has. We're talking about exercising this authority. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. James 4:7. Now, here's what Jesus said to me in that vision. He said, every rider then, he gave the scripture here where he had delegated the authority on the earth to the church. Then he said, every person, every apostle that wrote letters to the church, every single time told them to do something about the devil. Now why? Because they've got the authority to do it. Hallelujah. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. James is writing to the church. We know he is because said, is any sick among them, call for the elders of the church. The church, didn't he? All right, he said, resist the devil, James 4:7, and he'll flee from you. Now a fellow had the audacity to come to me and said, now Brother Hagin, I heard you quote that scripture. He even knew where it's found, James 4:7. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. But he said, I did it, but said he didn't leave. I said, now the Lord will forgive you for lying if you'll repent. Don't you come whining to me and tell me you resist the devil and he didn't leave. Because if you do, I'm going to tell you exactly that you're a liar. Because if he didn't leave, then the Bible lied. If the Bible lied, then God lied. If God lied, then there is no God. Then there is no heaven. Then there is no hell. No, just settle on it. The Bible's true. And if for some reason or other it didn't work, you didn't work it. Are you listening to me? Because God's word never fails. All right, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. You is the understood subject of the sentence. James, I like to put it this way, the Holy Spirit through the Apostle James said, you resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Well, you couldn't resist him if you didn't have the authority to do it. That's what Jesus said to me. And of course, you do have the authority. That's the reason he told you to resist him. And he'll flee from you. Now, notice that James did not say, pray to God so that he will resist the devil for you. We're great ones trying to get somebody else to do something for us. No, he didn't say, pray to God and God will resist the devil. You're supposed to resist the devil. He doesn't say that he'll flee from Jesus. He said, resist the devil and he'll flee from Jesus. No, he said he'll flee from you. He'll flee from you. You see, the authority is yours. Now, here's where we fail. Is because you say, well, I just don't feel like I've got that authority. Feeling hadn't got anything to do with it. I said, feeling hadn't got anything to do with it. It's what God's word said. That's the thing that counts. You see, our faith should not be in how we feel. Our faith should be in what God's word said. Hallelujah to Jesus. That authority is yours whether you feel like it or not. It's yours. Hallelujah. But you must exercise it. Nobody else can exercise that authority for you. Jesus can't, God can't, the Holy Ghost can't. He can help you, but he can't do it. I can't. You must do it. We use the illustration this morning about the policeman. You know, you've seen him just hold up his hand, stop the traffic. Well, he might not feel like doing it, but he just goes ahead and does it. The authority works, whether he feels like it or not. Amen. You know, we went out to lunch today. And when we turned in to go to where we were going to eat, there's a policeman there, you know, and he was holding up his hand. That's all he did, just held up his hand. All these cars coming the other way stopped. We turned to the left right in front because he motioned us on. And when we came out of that place after we had eaten, we ran a stop sign because the policeman told us to. Well, we didn't have the authority to run that stop sign without him motioning us on. He is holding this traffic back, just motioning us on, see. And we just went, never stopped, never tired a bit. We went right through that stop sign, just went right on, you see. He had the authority to do that. Well, what if you said, yeah, I don't feel like it today. I'm just not up to par. No, the authority's there. No matter how he feels, the authority's there. The authority doesn't rest on his power, his strength, or his ability. That authority rests on the power that's behind the situation. Blessed be God. It's the power of God and the authority of God, God the Father and God the Lord Jesus Christ and the very throne of God that's behind this. Let's recognize that. Hallelujah to Jesus. And start exercising what belongs to us. Now, I remember that, you see, Jesus gave you this verse here, James 4:7, one of the verses he gave me, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Now, you know, in a general sense, we know what the word flee, F-L-E-E, means. And I did. Yet right on there in my spirit, on the inside of me, my spirit seemed to tell me that there was a significance to this word flee. And so I remember I began to look it up in different dictionaries. And finally I found one of these great big old dictionaries about a foot thick. And I looked it up in it, and I finally found what I was looking for. I see how the Spirit was leading me. And I found the expression there because there's a whole page or two that use the word flee and to flee in it. And one expression, to flee, it said, one definition was, means to flee, means to run from as in terror. To flee means to run from as in terror. Then I understood why that spirit that I saw when I spoke to him and told him to hush, that he just fell down on the floor and began to shake and whimper and whine, you know, just like a whipped pup. He is afraid. That's what's wrong with him. He's in terror. And I told him to take off, and man, he ran from me as in terror. You notice he said he'll flee from you. He didn't say he'll flee from Jesus. He said, you resist the devil and he'll flee from you. He'll flee from you. Are you listening? See, when you begin to find out who you are in Christ and who you are and what you have and your rights and privileges and authority that's yours, the devil will know it. Beforehand, he'd been rubbing your nose in the sand, but he won't. You know, there was a time, I guess, in all of our lives, spiritually speaking, you know, if everywhere the devil put his head up, we're scared. We automatically taught to be afraid. You hear some churches and some preachers, all they talk about is the devil, the devil, the devil, the devil, the devil, the devil, till you finally believe that the devil had more power than God. The devil's going to take everything over, they said. I've heard them say it. I said, when I hear him, I always speak up and say, no, he's not. He's not never going to take everything over. Oh, the devil's going to take this world over. I said, no, he's not. He'd have to take me over first, and he can't do it. It's astounding what faith people have in the devil and his power. You know it is. I mean, even Christian people, even spirit-filled, even charismatics. It's astounding what faith they have in the power of the devil. I don't have any faith in his power at all. I've got faith in the power of God. I was preaching down in another state, and I'm going to tell you where it was. Full gospel businessmen actually set the meeting. It wasn't their meeting, it was mine, but they worked in cooperation with me, and they set the meeting up for us and did a lot of legwork, cooperated with us. And I was doing some teaching that somebody didn't like. And some of the full gospel businessmen, I mean, some of these men that I knew very closely, seen them conventions in different places, you know, they came to me just all afraid. Just they're sort of like that little spirit, just a shaking almost. Oh, brother, I won't talk to you, I won't talk to you. You can see they're just afraid. And I said, well, what's the matter? Well, they called me to one side, three or four of them. One or two of them full gospel businessmen, and another were just some of the folks there. And there's some men and there's some women involved too. Oh, Brother Hagin. And there's a certain so-called prophet. Don't misunderstand me. I believe in prophets, but not this kind. And evidently they didn't like something I said. Said they didn't agree with you. And they told us
that they's going to put a curse on you.
I said, I double dog dare them to. Yeah. But Brother Aiken, you don't understand. Now, we know people that this prophet's put curses on. That wasn't God's prophet. No prophet of God ever put a curse on anybody. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? Yeah, we know this happened to that person and that happened to that person because this so-called prophet put a curse on them. And they're going to put a curse on you? I said, let them try. You go tell them personally that I told them. You know what I mean by that expression, double dog dare you? That's a good Texas expression. You go tell them personally that I said I double dog dare. How are you going to curse somebody that God's blessed? Old Balaam tried that and he couldn't. Only backslidden prophets try things like that. Balaam tried to put a curse on God's people and he said, how can I curse whom God's blessed? You can't curse somebody God's blessed. Why, no, something bad's going to happen. You know it ain't. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Goodness and mercy follow me. Goodness, goodness, good things follow me. And every now and then they overtake me. They're always following me. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? Amen. Are you listening to me? Goodness and mercy is following me. Not judgment and darkness and the devil. No, 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 no. 1,000 times no. Amen. Amen. Yeah, said they're going to put a curse on you. Yeah. They're just scared to death, as we say, you know, something about that. They had faith, you see, in this so-called prophet. Faith in the devil's power. I've got faith in God's power. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Now, that's stupid for people to get into that area. I went to pastor a church one time. God told me. God moved in a miraculous way. He spoke to me. I mean, just in a miraculous way. I don't mean that still small voice down on the inside of your heart. I don't mean God spoke to me and said, I was going by and preach at this church, and they wanted me to consider this pastor, the last church I pastored. And God said to me, you're the next pastor at that church, and that'll be the last church you'll ever pastor. I remember exactly when he said to me, I was in Humble, Texas. Walking up and down in the sanctuary, praying about my night service because there's a whole revival there. Amen. It was on the third Thursday of June of 1946, about 1:30 in the afternoon. Said, you're the next pastor. Well, I went up there to pastor. I went up there to preach. I didn't tell anybody what he'd said to me. Didn't even tell my wife, really. The church was all divided. The pastor that was there was leaving. He'd failed to get reelected, then tried to get back in, then he didn't get many votes at all second time, about the third time, less than ever. Now, he said to me, though, he said to the Lord, you know, here's a spirit-filled man, but you can get wrong, get on the devil's territory if you're not careful. And he said, he was in the parsonage, you see, and actually he'd been out as pastor for 30 days, and they'd given him the privilege to live there free of charge, paid his bills for him, went ahead and paid him all that month anyway. He wasn't there, treated him very lovely. And so I went by the next morning, in fact, before, you know, and I said to him, I said, well, you know, I'm elected pastor now. I knew him, he's a friend of mine, I'd known him for years, and he said, he wouldn't even let me in the parsonage, you see. And I said, well, actually, your time's run out. They give you 30 extra days, and then it's gone. But I want to get in there because my wife and I want to measure the windows. We have some furniture, but we want to measure the windows about our curtains and so on and so forth. And so I just said to him, I'm coming in. And I started in. He stepped back first. He wasn't even going to let me in. And then he said to me, now, Brother Hagin, I can't get out. He said, I said, well, Brother, I'm sorry. But this church has not had a pastor, and it's been in a terrible condition because of all the division, and they haven't had a pastor for 30 days. And we need to get somebody on the senior shepherd, you see, needs to get here to shepherd this flock. And I said, I'm telling you, this is Monday, and I'm heading immediately up, you know, where I had my furniture stored, and Wednesday I'm back in a truck up here to this parsonage and unloading it. And if you're still here, I'm sorry, I'm just moving in right on top of you. Because your time's up, you ought to be out. Well, he reluctantly got out. Then when I got down there, because he's still around there, he let me know that he's put a curse on this church now. Because he ought to still be there as pastor, and God can't bless them. I said, well, I beg to disagree with you, but now God can bless them. Because he told me to come here and pastor the church. And I'm not under the curse. And you can't put one on us. But I'm glad that man was big enough when he saw the church was blessed and the building was full. And I got him to come to visit some services and the building was crammed jam. And he got up public and said, folks, I want everybody to know this. And I'm glad to publicly admit that I was wrong. I was wrong. I've asked God to forgive me. I want to ask you to forgive me. I said, I was going to put a curse on this church, but you're more blessed than you was when I was here. I never did have the building full, but it's full. There are people coming that never came. I'm glad I was wrong. Well, he's a big man to do that. It's easy to get in the flesh sometimes. I don't know how come it to get off on that, but it did anyhow. I'll not take it back because it's all so. Amen. 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 Well, now, You see, you can't put a curse. How can you curse whom God has blessed? So many people have faith in the devil's power. Let's have faith in God's power. What the devil can do instead of faith in what God can do. Now notice he said, you resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Who's he going to flee from? You. 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 That's who he's going to flee from. Hallelujah. Well, I knew then, when I looked up that in the dictionary and found in that big dictionary about a foot and a half thick, that expression to flee from means to run from is in terror. I knew then why that demon seemed to be so scared. Now, Jesus gave me another scripture. See, Matthew 28:18 first, and then Mark, connection with it, 15th chapter, 16th verse, right on through the chapter. And then James 4:7. And then the third scripture Jesus gave me was Peter, 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, sometimes that's as far as people read. Oh, the devil's after me. Your adversary, adversary means your opponent, one who is arrayed against you, your enemy, that's Satan, as a roaring lion. He didn't say he was one. He said as one. Walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, like I said, that's as far as some people read. They said, oh, the devil's after me. They ask us to pray for them. The devil's after me. Pray that he won't get me. Well, the real truth about it is he's already got you. Amen. He's already got you. Tell the truth about it. Now, you can turn in prayer requests. And don't you misunderstand me. We're not belittling prayer. We believe in prayer. You can turn in prayer requests. And you can get 999,000 preachers in hand for their wives to pray. And every radio preacher and every television preacher. But in the final analysis, until you do something about it, nothing's going to be done. Because there's some things you have to do for yourself. Amen. We might as well face up to it. We have something to do about it. Now, what did he say? Here's the picture. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, these are Christians that he's wanting to devour. It's not sinners. He's already got them. Amen. Isn't that right? Peter's writing to the church. Now, what are you going to do about it? Are you just going to say, well, we're whipped, you know, nothing we can do about it. Devil's so powerful. He's taken everything over. I guess I'm next. No, that's not what you're going to do. What are you going to do? Just sort of roll over and play dead? Maybe he'll go away. Hide your face or stick your head in the sand. Maybe it'll go away. No. Read the next verse. It'll tell you exactly what to do and tells you to do it. Whom resist? Steadfast in the faith. I like another translation which said, whom resist? Steadfast in your faith. See, that's the way you resist him. Steadfast in your faith. What do you mean, your faith? That is, you resist him steadfast in your faith because you believe what the Bible said about him and what the Bible says about you. You believe that Jesus defeated him in his death, burial, resurrection. You believe that Jesus authorized you to stand against him. You resist him steadfast in your faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished. Afflictions there doesn't mean sickness, it means test or trial. Same tests, same trials are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Now, as I said, whom resist steadfast in your faith instead of the faith. Now, here Jesus said something to me in this vision that's very apropos to us. He said, Peter did not write this letter to the church. Here's what Jesus said to me. And say, now word has just come to me that God is using our beloved brother Paul in a real unusual way. In the cloths and handkerchiefs that he laid hands on or carried under the sick, the diseases depart from him and the evil spirits go out of him. So if you want to get rid of evil spirits, I suggest you write to Paul. That's what Jesus said to me. That came as a real shocker to me way back there in 1952. No, he didn't say get anybody to do it. The Spirit of God through the Peter said, you do something about the devil. Why? Because you've got authority. You couldn't do it if you didn't have the authority. But you have the authority to do it. You have the authority to do it. Every believer has the same authority that Paul had in Christ Jesus. Folks are always asking me why they don't get healed. They're asking me, you know, why this happens and that happens and the other happens. If you listen carefully now, you'll know why it happened. Because you let it happen. You didn't exercise your authority. Now, when we're baby Christians, we can carry one another for a while on our faith and prayers. Just like in the natural, somebody's got to carry a baby and clothe it, feed it. But the time comes that God intended, see, because he said, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. God intended that you should outgrow that babyhood stage. And he won't let anybody carry you after a while. And you'll have to be on your own. So that's why that we teach people, praise God, to what belongs to them. And we must teach people what belongs to them. Can you say amen?
Amen.
We must teach them what belongs to them. Let's look at it again real carefully here for a moment. Your adversary, yes, we do have an adversary. We do have an opponent. We do have an enemy, the devil. As a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, or steadfast in your faith. You can do something about it. See, both Jesus, James, and Peter tells us to do something about the devil. Well, there's three references. Now, what about the fourth one? All right, what did Paul say? You have your Bible there. Turn to Ephesians 4:27, and let's see what Paul said. We'll find out what Paul said. Ephesians 4:27. Neither give place to the devil. Now, what does that mean? That means don't give the devil any place in you. Now, what does that mean? That means the devil can't take any place in you unless you let him. That means it's up to you then whether the devil has any place in your life or not. It's not up to me. It's not up to your pastor. It's up to you. Neither give place to the devil. Don't you give the devil any place in you. If you give place to the devil, then there's nothing Jesus can do because you have the authority and you've given the devil permission. Are you listening? I know this is a little deeper than what a lot of folks have gone, but listen, it's the Word of God. You'll understand why things have happened and why nothing's been done about it because you haven't done anything about it. Unless you do something, Jesus still can't do anything about it. You see, Jesus said to me, in that vision, he said, you see, I've done all I'm going to do about the devil. Heaven's not going to do anything else about the devil till the time comes that the angel's going to come down from heaven, bind him, put him in the pit for a while, you know. Already Jesus has arisen victorious over him. Hallelujah. Now it's up to us to exercise that authority that he's given to us. Let's believe that. Let's feed on it till it becomes a part of our inner conscience. Don't just go out and try to do it without feeding on it. Study it until you know it on the inside of you, in your spirit, just like you know 2 + 2 = 4 in your head, and then you got it made. Now, notice here in this verse, this will help you. Colossians 1:13 then takes on new meaning to us. Colossians 1:13 takes on new meaning to us. Who hath delivered us? Here Paul, through the Spirit of God, is writing to the church at Colossae, talking about our salvation, our deliverance. Who hath delivered us? The Amplified says, the Father. See, it's God the Father that planned this plan of redemption, sent the Lord Jesus Christ to consummate it. Colossians 1:13. Who hath delivered us? What did he deliver us from? From the power of darkness. Again, many translations will read, who has delivered us from the authority of darkness. And this Greek word translated power here is the same one that is translated authority elsewhere in the New Testament. And that is a correct rendering. He hath delivered us. Not going to. He hath delivered us from the authority of darkness. Now darkness is Satan and Satan's kingdom. You know that, don't you? But blessed be God, I'm delivered from the authority of darkness. Amplified translation says, the Father has taken us out from under the control and the dominion of darkness. Oh, thank God, I like that. That's exactly what he's saying here. And has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. We're not in Satan's family anymore. We're not in Satan's kingdom anymore. Satan is not our Lord. Satan is not our head. Jesus is the head of the church. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my head. I am not under the control of Satan. Satan cannot control me anymore. Satan cannot dominate me anymore. Because it plainly said that the Father has delivered us from the power or authority of darkness. Or as the Amplified said, the Father, how did he do it? In his plan of redemption that he sent Jesus to consummate, has taken us out from under the dominion and the control of darkness. That's the devil and all of his kingdom. And has translated us. Translate means to take out of one, put into the other. Translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Praise God, or the Son of his love, one translation said. Well, now then, can't you see, as you look at that verse, that nothing else is going to be done about the devil? Jesus already done it. He's taken us out from under his control, so he can't control us. Hallelujah. He can't dominate us. See Romans 6:14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Sin cannot dominate you. Why? Because you're not under the law, you're under grace. Well, sin and Satan are synonymous terms. Then you could read that verse in Romans 6:14 like this. For Satan shall not have dominion over you. Similar translation said, sin shall not lord it over you. Satan cannot lord it over us. Satan cannot have dominion over us. Now, why can't he? Because we're not under the law. We're under grace. Hallelujah to Jesus. The devil can't dominate us. Is the devil the head of the church? No, Jesus is. Let's let Jesus dominate us. Then let's pick up the authority that the head has and begin to exercise it in the body. Hallelujah to Jesus. Praise God. And so you can readily see then that he's done exactly what he's going to do. Heaven isn't going to do one thing about the devil. Heaven's already done something about the devil. Are you listening now? Now, when you can see that and get that revelation in your spirit, I'll tell you, bless God, life will be new and joyous for you. But if you don't know that, well, then you go on letting the devil dominate. You really unconsciously give place to the devil. Well, we don't want to do that. So let's wake up. Let's change our praying if we have to. We have the authority to do this. We're sitting at the right hand of the Father, far above all principality and power and dominion and might, he said. If we are above these principalities and powers, then we have authority over them. Now notice back to Ephesians 1:22. Notice what he goes on to say, and hath put all things under his feet. And has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Now I want to ask you a question. How many of you people, your feet is in your head? No, the feet's not in the head, the feet's in the body. When he put all things under his feet, then all things are under our feet, the body of Christ. He's the head, we're the body. The feet are members of the body. Feet aren't members of the head. They're members of the body. Jesus is the head. Now notice, went on Ephesians 1:23 to say, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. You see how wonderful it is to know that the least members of the body of the Lord, those who are the very soles of the feet, or maybe the little toe, or else the little toenail, on the little toe of the left or the right foot, blessed be God, that member of the body of Christ has just as much authority as any other member of the body of Christ. And that member is far above all the mighty sources that we have been considering. We wonder sometimes that Jesus said there in Luke, you know, we looked at it in Luke 10:19, when he said to the other 70 disciples, he sent out, behold, I give unto you power or authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Do we have any less authority than those 70 had? Thank God we got more. Now, the enemy has been walking on us too long. It's time, blessed be God, that we just simply get up and walk on him. Now, it is generally thought that the devil is bigger than everybody, that he's running everything. But thank God he's not. He is the God of this world. But you remember, we're in the world, but we're not of the world, and he has no right to run us or dominate us. Now, notice what Paul said so plainly. Did you wear your shouting clothes this afternoon? You can't shout over this. I'm going to be shouting over anything. Romans 5:17. We're still talking about exercising the authority that's ours as believers, as Christians, as the body of Christ. Romans 5:17. For if by one man's offense, death, the death he's speaking of here is not physical death, but spiritual death. I could prove that to you if I had time, but if you read the whole chapter, you'll know it. For if by one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more, they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign. Now, where is it that we're going to reign? R-E-I-G-N. Reign or rule. When we all get to heaven. In the sweet by and by. No, 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 no. Reign in life. Through the one or by one, Jesus Christ. Now the Amplified Translation, New Testament said, shall reign as kings in life. Reign as kings where? In life. In life. Right down here. In this life. Through the one, Jesus Christ. Now that's sort of hard for us to believe, yet he's right in there. Because in days gone by, I remember down in Texas years ago, when I first come around Pentecostal people, they used to sing a song, and the chorus of it went like this. I never could sing it because I don't like getting unbelief. But they'd sing it and just get happy about it. Here I wander like a beggar through the heat and the cold. Nowhere in the New Testament does the Bible ever talk about Christians and the church as being beggars. And that we're wandering. It said that we'll reign as kings, not beggars. Beggar doesn't reign. Beggar begs. A king reigns and rules in life by the one, Christ Jesus. We thought we were being humble, you know, and we sang, just build me a cabin in the corner of glory land. Didn't know was being ignorant. Sing, precious Jesus, don't forget me. Oh, dear Lord. See, we sung all those unbelieving songs and they're embalmed with unbelief. And we got more faith in the song than we have in the scriptures. I'm glad we're getting around to singing scriptures nowadays. Amen. Amen. All you can expect, you listen to some of our songs, some of the preaching, days gone by. And even some day, you know, some now that you hear. Can't never expect much in this life. Some way or another, if I can just make it in. Just barely get through, you know, somewhere. I don't know whether I can or not, but if I can. Live on barely get along streets, you know. Way down at the end of the block, right next to Grumble Alley. I'll soon be done with troubles and trials. Leave this valley of tears. That don't sound like a king reigning, does it? You just analyze what we sing a lot of times. Some of it's junk, some of it's near junk. Amen. And people get happy about things like that. Get their hands out, wipe their eyes, you know, and just really get blessed over a lie. I've never been able to understand it. I'll just be honest. I was holding a meeting down there in Oklahoma years ago before I moved there. And we had two services a day. We had an afternoon teaching service and then the preaching service at night, instead of a morning teaching service, the afternoon, about 2:30. And the choir director of that church, afternoon and night, two services a day, he would sing the chorus of that song. The chorus of it went, precious Jesus, don't forget me. And the pastor said to me, he said, I talked to him twice, personally, but he didn't get it. He said, I hate to do it, but I'm going to embarrass him. I have to, it looks like, publicly. So he got right up in this afternoon service. And he just stopped him right in the middle of it. He said, brother, I don't mean to be mean or ugly. I've talked to you personally twice, privately. Now, don't ever sing that song in this church again. Jesus is not going to forget you. He already said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's not going to forget you. I don't want to hear it anymore. But the fellow got mad about it, pulled off out of the church, got some of the others around, and went off and built a Jesus Don't Forget Me church. Well, their confession was that he had forgotten them. They're trying to get him not to. No wonder they didn't have anything. No wonder they go home confused that he had forgot them. You know, even a little closer home, sometimes we sing. And I never do sing it. Others sing it, I just stay silent or sing something that's positive. Said, standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. Now, if you just stop and think about that, that's the most ridiculous thing that anybody ever sung. If Jesus was there, there wouldn't be any shadows. Because he said, I'm the light of the world. Isn't that what he said? Come on now. Oh yeah, but somebody said, yeah, but that means in life, you know, everyday life, in our ups and downs and ins and outs, that he's there. Well, that's still wrong. In those ups and downs and ins and outs, you're supposed to rule or reign as a king. You're supposed to dominate the circumstances. You won't need him to. He's already given you the authority to do so. Amen. Listen to me carefully now. Those things have bound us. We've sung those things so much in time past particular until I think we think they're so. We've said them so much until we start believing it. We're going to say anything, just say what the Word of God says. Let's say what the Bible says. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Praise God. God's plan is for you, the individual Christian, to rule and to reign as a king in your life. Now, what are you going to rule over? What are you going to reign over? Well, that means that you're going to reign over circumstances. You're going to reign over poverty. You're going to reign over disease and everything that would hinder you in your own individual life. Praise God forevermore. You reign because you have the authority to reign. You rule because you have authority to rule. You reign by Christ Jesus. I think a lot of times Christians are sort of like young mockingbirds, little baby mockingbirds, just been born, their eyes still shut, you know. Their mothers, you know, they're waiting for their mama to come to feed them. They can hear her coming, you know, and they just got their eyes shut and their mouth wide open. And I think a lot of Christians, that way, they got their eyes shut and their mouth wide open. Everybody come along. Just poke anything in the world down them. A fella said to me that one preacher was humble because he drove a 1936 Chevrolet. Well, I said, that's not a mark of humility. That's a mark of ignorance. Now, that was his idea of humility. One fella said, now, you know Jesus and the apostles never did drive a Cadillac. Well, I guess not. They didn't have Cadillacs then. But I'll tell you one thing about it. Jesus did ride a donkey. And a donkey was the best means of transportation of the day. That was the Cadillac of the day. And he rode the donkey into Jerusalem. Praise God, isn't that right? Sure, that's right. That's right. See, we get our thinking all wrong. Sometimes folks let the devil cheat them out of the blessings that they could have. God didn't intend that his people would be poverty stricken. He said we're to reign in life. Can you imagine a king being poverty stricken? He said that we'd reign as kings in life by one Christ Jesus. He didn't intend that the devil should dominate us or dominate our families. I remember I used to get mad, just flat mad. If sickness came to my children, I'd go after the devil tooth and toenail and said, no, you don't, Mr. Devil. You don't put that on my kids. You've got no authority here in this house. Hallelujah to Jesus. Sickness has got to go, and it'd go. It would just flat go. We need to rise up, praise God, and take the authority that belongs to us. I would tell the devil, I'm ruling over this domain. I've got the authority because he gave it to me. I'm ruling by one, Jesus Christ. This is my domain you're getting your own right now, and you just get off of it. Just pack up your duds and leave. Pack up all your symptoms and get out of here. Amen. Well, now some of us know, and some of us have more knowledge along some of these lines than others, and we have to help those that don't know how to act for themselves. Amen.